Hello and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Reese, and today we are going to be talking about Batley and Spen, because overnight it was the count in the by-election, which happened on Thursday. So the 1st of July was by-election day in Batley and Spen, and well, it was a close one. It was much closer than many in the Labour Party were hoping, but truth be told, it's still a hold for them, and it is not really anything too different to what they were expecting, given what has been going on in that constituency. So, with Kim Leadbitter, the new MP for Batley and Spen, it's time to have a look at how it happened and what it means on today's episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. So, in the fourth Westminster by-election this year, we've seen one SNP win up in Airdrie and Shotts, one Conservative win in Hartlepool, one Liberal Democrat win in Chesham and Amersham, and now, in Batley and Spen, the Labour Party get themselves on the scoreboard for 2021. And it's a good result for Keir Starmer, obviously. He doesn't want to be losing by-elections. The opposition should really be winning by-elections. But it was very, very close. So this is Batley and Spen, the constituency vacated by Tracy Braben, who won the inaugural West Yorkshire mayoral election earlier this year, and as such resigned her seat as an MP, or rather took the Chiltern Hundreds, which is a sort of archaic procedure because you can't officially resign, you have to be appointed as an officer of profit under the Crown, because you're not meant to be able to profit off government activity or state activity and be a servant of the state in Parliament. So she took that position and was immediately excluded from the House of Commons and made the seat vacant. And then that set in motion the by-election. So, who was standing? Well, Kim Leadbitter was standing for the Labour Party. She is the sister of Joe Cox, who was the Member of Parliament for Batley and Spen, and was actually murdered by a far-right activist in the constituency in 2016. If you think yourselves back to the Brexit referendum, campaigning actually halted because of the murder of Joe Cox. Ever since then, it's been held by Tracy Braben, and the seat has been held by the Labour Party since 1997. So Tony Blair, the first Labour leader to win the seat, was previously Conservative from 1983 to 1997, and it is still part of that that red wall type area. Now, this result does ease some pressure on Keir Starmer. There were rumours bubbling around that if he had lost this by-election, you would have seen a challenge to his leadership by Deputy Leader Angela Rayner, who we know was a little bit dissatisfied with the reaction to both the Hartlepool loss and the local election losses, where she was sort of shuffled around in the backroom team. But doesn't look like that will be happening now. What I will say, though, is that Leadbitter only won by 323 votes, which is not brilliant, all I can say. The Labour Party, with 35.3% of the vote, just 323 votes ahead of the Conservative Party's candidate Ryan Stevenson on 34.4% of the vote. And Ryan Stevenson, who was standing in the constituency for the Tories, as I say, ran a much more subdued campaign than we saw from Jill Mortimer in Hartlepool, which many people are now pointing to and saying, well, this is why he didn't win the seat. But he still was running a quite smooth and slick door-to-door operation and getting others in the constituency to speak out on behalf of him. Boris Johnson went to the constituency and did a couple of public engagements around him. So it's not like they weren't fighting for it. So the line that there wasn't too much Tory pressure on the seat is a little bit misleading in that regard. The Labour vote share has dropped off somewhat, and by somewhat, I mean fairly significantly. So it's gone from 22,000 votes which was, I think, about 40%, 40-45% of the turnout to 35% of the turnout. And that's not brilliant for the Labour Party, but you can point to one other major factor. It's not just people not liking the Labour Party or potentially having a less popular candidate, whatever it might be, but also because of the rise of one party and really the rise of one man in the constituency. And that man is George Galloway. Yes, a man who many people thought was a spent political force in the UK, and to some extent still is. He was able to claim 21.9% of the vote in this constituency in the by-election, running for the Workers' Party of Britain. And you might remember him, he was a Labour MP for quite a while in the, I believe, the late 90s, early 2000s, before leaving and forming the Respect Party. And he won the Bradford West by-election in 2012, taking that seat away from the Labour Party. After, I believe it was the death of their sitting MP. And his campaign pledges and pitches really haven't changed since then. So Galloway, when he won Bradford West back in 2012, he made great strides in the Asian and Muslim communities, and also Hindu communities, but mainly with South Asian communities. And he very much stuck to that tactic, peeling away support from the Labour Party, because just with demographics, the BAME communities are tending to lean more to the Labour Party than the Conservatives, so George Galloway peeling away those voters will have done more damage to the Labour Party vote share than the Conservative vote share. Also, we saw various attacks on the Labour Party and their candidate, just talking about, well, one was an attack accusing her of homophobia, but that was really quite nonsensical because other attacks were in fact homophobic. Kim Lebiter is openly gay. Now, she was promoted as the only local candidate. Her Conservative opponent, Ryan Stevenson, a councillor in Leeds, just about 15 minutes by train away, so hardly the only local candidate. But it is true that George Galloway is not a local of Batley and Spen, and nor were the other candidates. Labour was probably helped by the fact that Brexit was no longer a topic of heated discussion on the doorstep. We saw in Hartlepool, it was a major thing, Hartlepool becoming a free port, or wanting to become a free port. I'm not quite sure where they are in that stage yet. And Brexit being a major issue around that area really pushed the Conservatives over the top in some places, but not in Batley and Spen. The main topics might well have been completely local issues, because also the rule breaking by Matt Hancock and the resignation was actually rarely raised by the voters. So they were really fighting a local campaign on what they called local issues. Now, there were many protest marches. There were quite a few. In fact, the police having to get involved in a couple. And also, the Labour Party might have been aided by squeezing support out of the Liberal Democrats, which was a small percentage of the vote, but potentially vital in that election, by opposing the building of Amazon warehouses on farmland in Cleckheaton, which is very nearby, having two Liberal Democrat councillors. And also, the Green Party candidate withdrew after historic inappropriate tweets came to the public's attention. The Green Party, never the strongest party, really, in many elections, but they were able to get several hundred votes the last time around. So if those votes had gone to the Green Party, you could have seen that small 323 vote majority that put Kim Leveter into Parliament out of the way and completely overturned, letting the Conservatives in, which is something that you would probably say that the Green Party would not want. They'd rather have a Labour Party MP than a Conservative MP. Now, just turning back to George Galloway, Labour did try and very much counter Galloway's presence. They, at the very basic level, ensured that MPs from Asian backgrounds were very visible in the local community, because George Galloway has that pull in the South Asian community. We do see that whenever he gets going. They also saw that Labour supporters in the community sent WhatsApp messages to friends in Batley and Spen, trying to point out Galloway's poor track record as an MP in Bradford West, very nearby, and that seat he won. And some of that seemed to strike a chord with older Muslim voters, according to the BBC's report just before polling day. Some saying that George Galloway is very good at chatting, but is he going to do the job? Now, this is, again, become a divisive campaign. And perhaps none more so than one leaflet from the Labour Party showing a picture of Boris Johnson with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who is a Hindu, essentially trying to dog whistle Muslim voters into voting for him. Voting for Kim Leadbitter. Now, it's not great. It really isn't a great look, calling out the BJP, who are the governing party in India, and Narendra Modi's party, to try and win votes in Batley and Spen. Surely there are a better positive ads that could have been run, but hindsight is 2020, so maybe it was just a genuine mistake. Even so, not a great look, and I know it comes down to optics. It shouldn't have to, but it does. Now, this is really turned into a bit of a mudslinging campaign. George Galloway is now saying that he wants a court to set aside the result of this vote because he claims he was the victim of unfair practices by the local council, some taking down his leaflets, not leaflets, his massive posters on the walls for breaking electoral guidelines about sort of, I think he was complaining about, they were saying the font size on saying who was paying for it was too small. And it has turned into a petty squabble at the end. But when all is said and done, Batley and Spen have a new Member of Parliament. It's not Ryan Stevenson, who, again, the Tories tried to stay above the mudslinging to try and run a more positive campaign, to try and not give the electorate reasons to vote against them. But it is Kim Leadbitter. It certainly isn't George Galloway. He ran a good campaign. Not many people thought he would be getting 8,000 votes. He does seem to have split the left vote far more than he split the Conservative vote, though. So let's find out how Kim Leadbitter does in the in Parliament. That is all the time we have for today on the Politics Unboxed podcast. I want to thank you very much for listening. I hope to see you all around again soon for the next episode of the podcast. And until then, if you want to get in touch, you know all the places to go to. We've got Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, and our website, which is www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com. And until the time as the next podcast comes out, see you soon.